lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic, a podcast.
Jimmy Boy, welcome aboard.
Mate, new little makeshift studio.
I know, we're in the back shed of the Philip Boland house we've been staying at for the World Supers. So, cracking weekend we've had.
Yeah, it's been good. Thanks everyone coming down and saying hello to everyone that's been down. That took some photos of fans and been talking about the Adelaide Street Circuit about 50 billion times.
Yeah, it's been on the agenda. It's funny, some people sort of coming around to the idea, I think. It was a lot of anger at the start and a lot of frustration with different things. But yeah, it seems to be, it definitely seems to have a positive thought in our brain now, I suppose.
So. Yeah, as you said, everyone that's kind of coming around to it, like you see a lot of negativity online, but more people we speak to are like, oh, you know, I'll still go, I'm still going to try and embrace it, whatever. It's been a bit of a turnaround in the past 24 hours. But what do you think of the World Superbikes this weekend, T-Shavs? Because I know you're a harsh critic. Everyone knows you're a harsh critic of World Superbikes.
Yeah, they had nearly 50,000 people through the gates over the 3 days, which I thought was pretty incredible. I only came down today and watched Sunday's race, and obviously the weather just did not help that at all. No. I remember last year was awesome, sunny, beers, and the vibe in the back of the pits was awesome. But yeah, disappointing. Racing seems to be, it's going to be a hard and boring year with Bulliger just dominating. So yeah, a couple of broken wrists to a couple of British riders as well. So bit of a harsh reality for them. But yeah, it's funny. It's a funny old category, isn't it? I don't know what they can do and what they can do to make it a bit more exciting going forward, but we'll see in this new Liberty era.
Yeah, well, exactly right. It is a funny old category. I was there on the Saturday as well, and it was quite busy. The weather was good, so I think a lot of people made a trip on the Saturday. And, you know, maybe more people coming down because of the whole Philip Island news. I'm not too sure. It was quieter definitely today, as you said, because of the weather. But yeah, World Superbikes, it's a funny one. I don't know. It's definitely a different vibe to MotoGP. I still like World Superbikes, but it's just, It needs a kick up its ass. I don't know how.
It does, yeah. I think it needs something, but we're not the experts and no idea what it needs. Star riders obviously help, but I don't know. Just needs something.
Yeah, it needs to be not be owned by Dorna.
Yeah, I know. It needs to be. I don't know. The whole thing with Superbikes is it's supposed to be relatable to a production bike. And I don't know. Is it now? Are they too fast? The bike comes out off the line, off the production line at 200 horsepower, and they're pushing 260, 270.
Yeah.
So it's a big difference than how they used to be. But yeah, I'm not an expert in World Superbikes, never claimed to be, but hopefully you can have an exciting year.
Oh, that's it. And then you get to some more tracks around the world that we've spoken about so many times. Can't just go to Australia.
Has
to
Asia, go to... need a couple of Asian rounds would really kickstart the category, I reckon.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
Yeah.
Shout out to motorheaven.com.au, one of our sponsors, best in the business, we always say. OG sponsors.
Yep.
They are the best. Check them out at motorheaven.com.au. Tom, shall you like?
Yes, and all the love on Instagram, on YouTube, Spotify, like and subscribe. We really appreciate all the support. And of course, our Patreons, they're invested in Motorsport Republic, haven't they, James?
Yeah.
They're part owners. So, we're a publicly listed Patreon company, as I like to say. So jump on Patreon if you can, support the pod, and you get more extra content, cheaper merch, etc., etc. So on tonight's episode, we are covering our Thailand Grand Prix Round 1 preview show. So we're going to go through our predictions, top five, testing results. It's been really interesting seeing testing over the last couple of days. They're just finishing day two, probably as we speak. Mm. So what have you taken out of testing, first of all, James?
Yeah, look, it's the biggest thing out of testing, I think, is Ducati. Mm. And they're looking to try and figure out an aero package, and they're still just, they're not 100% set on it. And Mark Marquez coming out of, I think, Malaysia said, like, we need something by Thailand, and they're still working. And, like, Apple Yard did a really good piece on it that we watched before. And you could tell the Ducati camp, especially with Mark Marquez, was like all serious. They're putting in work to find a new aero package that suits Mark and suits the Ducati team, because at the moment they're not there yet.
No, it doesn't seem to be, which I think makes it more exciting for us. I think it's opened the door to Aprilia, in the first half of the season, because it was looking real dominated, looking like a domination from Ducati. I'm excited. I'm excited for Zarco being up there in testing. Mm. I'm excited for Raul Fernandez up there in testing as well. Yamaha's look Yamaha-ish.
How's Fabio Quartararo?
Jeez.
Oh, putting the finger up at his bike, so, head yeah. and hands.
Yeah, Quartararo looks defeated. Absolutely defeated. You're in testing and you're putting your middle finger up at the fucking dash of the bike.
Yeah.
It's a fucking long season ahead. Yeah. I can tell you that, my friend.
Yeah.
That's going to be a real harsh reality for him. And he took the cash. We all know that. He's a multi-millionaire now. But he's finally coming to the end of that reign. And he'll be in the Honda colors by, I don't know, maybe the next month. We're thinking he'll sign for next year. They're going to be releasing because there's lots of talk of rider signings even before the season starts.
Well, yeah, exactly right. And, you know, If there was any hope of Quartararo staying at Yamaha, I think it's gone. I think it's been gone through testing.
It's gone.
And like, you know, him putting the bird up, you know, head in hands. And there's already obviously all these rumors of him signing with HRC, which is, you know, it just looks so on the cards now. Like, why wouldn't you? Like, Yamaha, as I've said, have had the worst off season, I think, of any manufacturer ever. So, and, you know, it's a long road back, but for Yamaha, you know, they got 1 year on this V4, so spent all this money on this V4 just for it to go to the 850ccs again. So it's just, I don't know, they're in a very weird position, and it'll be better to judge Yamaha, you know, going into 2027, or sorry, like going into 2028, 1 year in with the new regs, then we can really see what they're doing.
Yep. And if you haven't been living under a rock the last couple of days, or if you have, I should say, if you're living under a rock, Bagnaia looks to be signing with Aprilia, which I think is going to be an amazing lineup for them going forward for next year. Two Italian riders, Italian team. I think it's a dream scenario for them.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Nothing official, obviously, just yet, but he looks pretty confident in the media, I think.
Yeah, well. He even came out in the media a few weeks ago and said, like, I've got options, I'm confident in like what I'm looking to do, and he's had really good options, and Aprilia is one. You know, and being teammates to Marco Bezzecchi, who came out and said, I don't care who's my teammate, which is a very him thing to say, is a team VR46. It is a perfect team for them. Italians, Italian speakings. I think that would work really well for Bagnaia in this point in his career. You know, if we said that 5 years ago, 4 years ago, no way. But how far Aprilia has come, how good their team is. Going into the new regulations, though, Tom, it's always a bit risky. Like, we just don't know. We don't know how that bike's going to perform compared to the giants of Honda and Ducati that have a lot more money to throw at these projects. But Pecco Bagnaia with Marco Bezzecchi, I think, is exciting. And that's what we want to see.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for Pecco. I think it's a new start. It's amazing. This guy was Ducati's, you know, golden child.
Yeah.
Two world championships. And now, as Marc Marquez comes in, wins, and then he's out.
This time last year, he was Ducati's golden child still.
It's amazing how quick this sport can change. And, you know, that's a classic example. For me, it opens a door for a lot of other things now. It opens a door for, obviously, Acosta signing with Ducati, which we think is done. And I think in the media, we know that's done. Martin, we've spoken about this, looking like most likely going back to Yamaha. Is that through Pramac or is that going to be on the factory team? We don't know yet because Yamaha really don't have a lot of options for next year. No. I mean, for riders. I mean, they're going to have Jack Miller, which is at the end of his career. Toprak, which, you know, will become a talent, but I mean, it is a talent, but will become a really good MotoGP rider, but how long is it going to take? And obviously, Alex Rins, this has to be his last year. So, I mean, realistically, they need a star rider, and I can't think of anyone else.
I know. Like, who else are you putting in there? There might be an overflow effect, which, look, they aren't star riders, but it might be an overflow effect of someone who jumps in on HRC. Just say Quartararo takes Juan Mir's spot. Maybe he goes there, which sucks for Juan Mir. Like, that's the last thing he wants. But,
yeah,
you know, it could be an overflow on that.
Yeah, and I think, exactly. Mir and Marini still have a lot of years left in GP as well. So that's definitely a couple options there. Again, we're not putting them in the star rider category, are we? So, and then the other thing, Martin is still such a, I don't know, he crashes, he injures himself. And the other thing is, he's just so inconsistent, both in the media and his actions. I mean, the last couple of years, fucking hell. I mean, just, yeah. But then he's come out and he's had a pretty good test. And then he's saying, oh, Aprilia is my family. Aprilia is the best, you know, and I feel so good on the Aprilia. So
he says it finally feels like it's his motorcycle.
Yeah, so...
But that's obviously a year too late, and he's probably doesn't even have a contract. But, you know, he's been pretty fast in testing. You know, he's been, you know, middle 7th, 8th, 6th, 7th, 8th, kind of thereabouts. Like, again, it's so hard to judge. It's so hard to judge where these riders are in testing. A lot of them sandbag. They're trying an array of different things. They're all working on different things. So it's very hard to judge. But look, he's got positive comments, which is good.
Yep.
But I don't see a seat for him in 2027.
No. And sorry for the background sound, guys. We're in the shack and it's pissing down rain. Philip Island, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I think he's going to finish his career and he's going to be kicking himself because he joined a team that wasn't on the top of the grid. And now, if he was fully fit on that bike this year, he'd be a championship contender.
Oh, for sure.
So, is he going to have that opportunity again in his career? I don't know. Did him winning the championship actually may have made his career path worse, mentally worse?
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, he's like ticked off his list. Yes, he had a big accident, but then his mind's going everywhere. Honda this, Yamaha, blah, 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 blah. Hasn't set, you know, hasn't even shown anything on that Aprilia yet. I'm mumbling on a little bit here, but, you know, it's just he's just going to kick himself. He really is.
I think he's getting bad advice. And whether that be from his agent or whoever it is, I think it's really bad advice. I've spoken about the money before, but, you know, for him to be linked with like HRC, then Yamaha, then back to Aprilia and, you know, on the merry-go-round of all that, like, I think it's just, the man needs stability. That's all Jorge Martin needs is stability. And what he did so well with Pramac and Pramac Ducati is it's such a family stable environment. Mm. You know, it's such a good team for that. Just like how Gresini is. And we talk about how good Gresini is and how it's a stable team. And then results appear from then. Obviously, he had great results. He won multiple races, won a world championship fair and square against Pecco Bagnaia. And then at the moment, like he's got no stability. Obviously, it's through his injuries. But then to have all that... okay, even if you're not great on the racetrack and you're injured, on the other side of it, the contract side of it or the off-season side of it, at least you need to have some stability there. You can't also be going, you know, from Honda to Yamaha to Aprilia. Like, you got to just make sense of it all.
Mm, yeah, 100%. Let's jump on to this week. Next week, we're going to be in Birim.
Yep.
If anyone's going, please let us know. Drop a comment. I'd love to catch up over there. We'll be roaming around the... If anyone hasn't been there before and are going, you got to get to the... There's a... Behind the pits. I think it's a public area. Anyone can go. Mm. But that food area...
Yeah.
...is phenomenal. Where they've got all like... And they've got all their... all the factories have got their bikes set up. And it's amazing there. So we'll be roaming around that area, back of the pits.
Yeah. You know what's awesome about back there? You've probably forgotten about this. It's the loud microphones.
Yeah.
Everyone's shouting into a microphone.
Yeah. It's going to be so exciting.
I can't wait. It's going to be hot as balls, but it's going to be so much fun. And it'll be good to catch up with people over there as well.
Yeah, so just hit us up. James, should we jump into our top five predictions for...
Yeah, let's do it, mate.
For the next weekend.
Let's do it.
Well, this weekend. I should say this weekend.
What are we? What day are we?
We're Sunday.
Sunday. We normally film on a Monday. It's throwing us all off. T. Shavs. All right. I'm going to go for my top five predictions for the Thai GP, my friends. In fifth place, I think Franco Morbidelli.
He's going off last year's form, I see.
Yeah. And he's quick in the test.
Yep.
He's been quick in the test, so...
Contrary to popular belief, I'm going to say that.
Yeah. This is actually a very boring list. That's the most exciting person I've got in there. Fourth place, I've got Marco Bezzecchi.
Okay.
Third, Pecco Bagnaia.
Yep.
Second, Alex. First, Mark.
All right. Well, it's interesting. I've got a funky feeling about Alex this week.
Mm.
So, I'm going to start with fifth, though, because you know how I like going the other way around.
Going.
So, fifth place, I've got my favorite boy, Raul Fernandez.
Yeah.
Fourth place, I've got Pecco Bagnaia.
Okay.
Third place, Bezzecchi.
Yeah.
Second place, Marc Marquez.
And Alex.
And Alex to win.
I was so close to putting Alex to winning.
My concern is this factory Ducati. Now, obviously, Alex is going to be on the same bike, but he crashed twice yesterday.
Marc.
And he'd be sore. It's going to take... I know he's the GOAT. I know he can bounce back from anything, but... might be just something in the back of his mind. That braking stability of the Ducati just not suiting him at the moment. So
do you know what he said?
Go.
Mark, he says, "I don't know why I crashed." That is the worst thing you can say as a motorcycle rider, well, is just, not knowing why you crashed.
The crash just happened. He's pulled the brake and gone. Like, yeah. It's one of those crashes where every time now he pulls the brake on that corner, he's going to go, oh,
yeah,
you know. And look, it's one corner and he's fucking amazing at this, at what he does. So I'm sure he'll be able to bounce back. But I don't know. Alex is just showing something for me this week, and he loves the track and he performed so well there last year. So yeah, go for the win, Alex.
How crazy was last year though with Alex? Like, we were there, and to see him finish second, almost win. It's obviously to be expected now. Like, you've put him in to win the Grand Prix, yeah. But it's just insane on the turnaround Alex Marquez has had in his career.
And I've been harsh on him because he had a really hard second half of last year.
Yeah.
So he crashed and took Mir out in Bruno. And ever after that point in time when the championship was gone, he really struggled.
Motorheaven.com.au, Tom Shavulak, family owned, number one online motorcycle accessories retailer in the country.
James, you got a family owned business.
Yep.
You got the cheapest prices. Yep. And free shipping over $150. What else do you actually want?
There's actually nothing else you can want. The biggest brands, they are number one. We love them. OGs of the pod, motorheaven.com.au. Check them out.
And so for me,
One in
Sepang without Mark, I suppose. Mm. And then obviously Bagnaia had the puncture as well. So, But yeah. But I think obviously his first half of the season was amazing.
Incredible.
So can he bounce back? I think he can. I think he can win this week. I think he still won't. He'll still struggle throughout the year. He's not going to be winning that many races, but I just got a feeling this week.
Yeah, interesting. I like that.
Because I think Bagnaia is going to get the bike under him. I think Acosta is going to be up there in some races. You've got four Aprilias as well that are going to be there. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Who'd you have fifth?
Raul Fernandez.
That was Raul Fernandez. Yeah. And I got Morbidelli. That's going to be an interesting one to see who gets fifth.
Yeah, well, remember I jumped on Bezzecchi bandwagon last year. Mm. I said Bezzecchi was going to win the first race.
And you said that to him.
And then, you know what? Funny, and I know I contradict myself sometimes, but my memory really was struggling the start of last year. I thought Bezzecchi really struggled the first few races. He finished sixth last year for him. So I think Bezzecchi is also going to be up there this weekend as well. I think that's another one that will be playing. It's going to be a real fight for that top four this year.
Yeah, it is.
It's really going to be those four, I think, that we both picked.
Yeah.
But who's going to come out on top?
Yeah, I think Acosta's going to be up there more than you think.
Well, I think the KTM looks okay. I mean,
it's clearly the third fastest bike.
Yeah, Binder was... We're going faster than Honda.
Yeah. It's still...
Jeez, I'm going to have to go back to bloody prediction show, James. You had some Hondas quite up high on the list there.
Nah, I did, but I think KTM's riders. Oh, I wouldn't say that. I think it's a good bike. I think they are improving.
I love that. That's good.
Yeah, I was about to say the KTM's riders. I'm like, they're actually pretty good. It's just Binder.
Well, yeah, Bastianini on his day is good, but you know.
But like, you know, they're also not proven at the moment. It's Maverick's done a couple good races, then got injured. So that's unfortunate. Bastianini's not really that proven from last year. He had a sprint race podium. And Binder's done nothing. Obviously, Acosta's been carrying the team. So there is pressure on those riders.
And there's such an unknown for them going into the future. What's going to happen with that organization and that team and Tech 3 if they're going to stay on those bikes? So that's another story to play out this year.
Mm.
Who's your dark horse for the weekend?
It's Juan Mir for me. Funny enough, it's a Honda. I think that he can go either way. I really do believe that Juan Mir and that Honda, they've had an amazing preseason. I think they can get somewhere like a fifth or a sixth, or they could be 12th, 13th, 14th. They're definitely my dark horse. He actually came out after the test yesterday and he said the bike isn't still a complete package. There's still a lot of work to do, so it's not like they've just found the magical solution yet. Like, there's still a lot of work to do there. He managed decent time attacks and finished seventh in the standings for the day. But Juan Mir, I think for me, is a dark horse. You know, I think he can pull a result there, you know, on his day. It just, I'm you know, how can you tell? Until the we're going to know all these answers after the first race. We'll have an idea of where everyone is. But, yeah, that's for me.
That we'll have an idea, but to a certain extent, it's just such an unusual racetrack. And we saw, the top three last year were pretty much the top three for the whole year, except probably Bezzecchi. But my dark horse is on the Honda train as well. I think Zarco's going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, wow.
So he, for me, he's going to struggle for the year is my predictions. But I think, again, a bit of a contradiction, but I think he's going to be top seven.
Top seven.
Yeah.
He's had a pretty rough, I think he's done all right in Buriram, but he's had a pretty rough preseason in Malaysia.
Yeah, and that's where the dark horseness comes
from. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he has had a rough first test. Buriram looks stronger, so it's interesting. And I touched on this with you today. There's a reason why Iagura went so well in Buriram last year. It was his first race, but he got to test on that track for 2 days before they raced. And I think the guy's got so much talent, James. And he's tested, he got used to the track, got used to the bike, he's raced and finished fifth on his first year. Like, that's like Diego Moreira finishing fifth, yeah? And the thing is, Diego Moreira is second last in the times at the moment. So we can't sleep on the fact that how amazing that was last year.
Oh, it was incredible. And then obviously he did rookie things and got injured through the season. Yep. But he will be one to watch.
He'll be one to watch, yeah. And especially this weekend, I think if he, like, he's proven. It's been proven. So again, you don't just lose the talent overnight. It's a better bike than it was round one last year as well. So factory bike. Yeah.
Yeah. That should be one of our new segments, one to watch.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not bad. I like that.
Yeah.
Because he's definitely one that I'm interested in to see how he'll go.
Iagura, Raul Fernandez, a track house team for me, are the ones to watch.
Where do you think Iagura is gonna finish?
Top 10.
Top 10?
Yeah, top 10.
I see that.
That's being conservative. I'm not going to say he's going to be, you know, top five like he was last year. So,
well, that's it. But, like, you know, there's a lot of riders that fit in that top 10.
There is. We know that.
You know, there's a lot of riders.
But, you know, it could be a case of there's going to be a couple of crashes. There always is going to be. So,
well, that's it. People run wide.
Yeah.
How do you think Jorge Martin's going to go in his first race back?
I think he'll struggle over a whole race distance. I think he'll yeah, probably. I mean, I still see him in, say, the top 15, obviously, but
yeah, I think he'd be top 10.
Yeah, he'd be top 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got him for, like, 7th in the championship. I think he's good for, like, a 7th and 8th.
He's only going to get better throughout the year.
Yeah, he will.
He's so far behind on, like, his own mental development and connection for this bike, so.
Would you be surprised if someone like a Bez won?
No. Nothing surprises me anymore. And you've got, I mean, even if Bags came out and won, it's not going to surprise me. So, if a Honda wins, that might surprise me.
If a Yamaha gets points.
Yeah. If a Yamaha, doesn't finish fucking fourth last, third last, second last, and last, then that would surprise me. But, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing. Who do we see? We see Diego Moreira struggle, I think, for the first half of the season. I'm only going off by testing times. He's far off.
Yeah.
Like, he's half a second off. I think Toprak's half a second off him, and he's half a second off the next person.
So, yeah.
It's big gaps when obviously the half a second probably covers the top 10, you know? So, yeah, that's going to be interesting. Is he really just taking it easy? He may be, but you're going to have to eventually push these things to the limit.
For sure. Diego Moreira, again, is another one that's going to be really interesting. You know, it's crazy how, and it shines light on what Iagura did last year, where he got fifth in that first round. Like, and look, it's a different bike. Obviously, the Aprilia is a lot more rideable compared to a Honda.
How's he done that? How has Iagura come in? I mean, I just tried to explain it, but just trying to justify it. How has he come in and finished fifth in his first race?
I know, incredible.
Like, when you think about it, that could be the performance of the year last year.
But you also got to think that first sprint race, whatever it was when he did it, Jack Miller got like 6th or 7th. Remember, he was up there on a Primark Yamaha. Imagine Jack or anyone on a Yamaha now. Even close to fifth.
Yeah.
That's what's so wild about.
Yeah, it is. It does throw up some wacky results, which is
first round does.
Yeah, which is unusual because they test there a week before. That's the unusual part. It should be the top five should be the top five in the championship if they've done, you know, 2 days of solid testing, but it's just the way it rolls sometimes.
As we know, rolling into Europe is when everything comes. Cream. All the cream rises to the top, as we always say. So Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to drinking some Chang's over there.
Yep. Yeah, Changtastic, mate. It's going to be good. I'm really excited as well. I think it's our spiritual home of Motorsport Republic is Phillip Island, but it's got to be close. Got to be close, Buriam.
Yeah, Thailand.
Buriam is Phillip Island's sister city. We'll call it two of the most polar opposite places you could fucking imagine in the world.
One's super cold and one's ridiculously hot.
Yeah. Opposites attract.
Yeah, that's funny. Bangkok will be good as well.
Bangkok will be fun, and we're hearing very conflicting stories of the drive from from Bangkok to Buriam. Some people say I can get there in 4.5 hours if you can go 160 on the highway.
Yeah,
and then the other person goes, it's going to take you 7 hours because there's just shit everywhere, cows on the road.
Yeah,
so
roadworks
that come out of nowhere. They don't even put up like slow down signs. It's just people on the road.
We're driving up with Connor from On Track Experiences. Shout out. And unfortunately for him, he's going to have to share a car with us for 5 hours because we kind of scared him and his missus at the pub last night just talking at them for about 6 hours. I could see the fearing for their life.
Yeah, I don't think he understands what he's in for, but we'll wait and see.
We threw the net over him and he couldn't get out.
It was funny. He asked me several times, you boys going to be all right getting up on the Thursday morning? Because we'll go at Bangkok Wednesday night. And I said, mate, we're not worried. I think you're the one who's worried. So
he asked you several times. It was very, very funny. Because like I was telling him, you know, I would have spoken about this for about an hour and a half, I reckon, with them. About like where it's easy for us to go out on like a Wednesday night and then wake up in the morning and drive. Like I couldn't do that to go to work or like something normal. But if it's for MotoGP, you can burn a candle at both ends. This is how it is.
Yeah, you definitely can. Definitely can. What else we got for preview show? What else you got? Any hot takes of your own there, James?
I don't know. Like, I think my biggest hot take is I think like Honda's going to be pretty quick.
Mm.
I think they're going to surprise us.
Jeez, you just...
I'm on the train.
Dude,
man.
You're on the train. Just,
I'm on the
you
train.
You got tunnel vision. Honda tunnel vision.
I do.
Fucking hell.
Because like everything else isn't a hot take. Toprak coming 20th isn't a hot take.
Yeah.
You know, Jorge Martin for me finishing 7th isn't a hot take. Mark winning isn't a hot take. Like...
Yeah.
It's just trying to figure out where the mid-pack is going to be. You know, we kind of know the bottom five and the top five. But from 6th to 16th, like we don't know. I don't know where anyone's going to be in that. No, that's the hard part.
And like the two VR46 boys,
how's Digi going to go?
Where are they going to fit in? And Digi has got this new bike, so he should be fast. He's done. Like, dude, I don't think they've mentioned his name once in testing. I couldn't tell you even where he is because they have not mentioned him. He's stayed quiet, stayed really, really, really under the radar. So. That's another one to play out far out. I haven't even thought of Digi.
Yeah, that's
didn't even
right.
cross my mind to put him in a top five.
Nah,
didn't even
same.
Cross my mind. So,
I put Franco Morbidelli in. He's fucking teammate.
Grassini obviously going to run Pirro for the first couple of rounds, or was it just maybe for the first round for Aldeguer's coming back from injury? So we won't get to see Aldeguer. I half freaked out because we flicked on testing before, and they were saying how Mark had these two massive crashes, and then. The door was down in the garage and I thought, oh no, please don't tell me. But we were watching the wrong day. We were watching day one. I thought, oh no, another two crashes. So because we all missed Mark in Sepang. So
yeah, Sepang, Phillip Island and all that. Do you think he's gonna have a dominant race?
Marquez?
Yeah.
Of the Mark variety?
Yeah.
No, well
even like a sprint.
No, I don't think there's going to be any domination at all on the weekend. I think it's going to be tight. Those top four will be out in front, and it'll be the rest of the pack after that.
Do you think racing this year is going to improve?
Yes, I do. I think it's going to improve immensely. I think because we're at the end of these regulations, they bikes are just so close together.
Yeah.
You got Aprilia and you've got Honda. Those 10 bikes should be up there every single race weekend.
They should be, but do you think as in like passing, like last year we didn't see a whole heap of passing because of aero, the bikes are huge. Like, do you think that side of it, even though obviously like Aprilia and Ducati are quite close, you know, KDM's kind of there for Costa to a degree, but like just like the actual just general racing, you think will be better?
The general racing, I think, will be better. Does that mean more passing? No, not necessarily. I just think instead of having a battle for two, there might be a battle for four or five.
Okay.
So I think the clear outstanding two were Bezecchi and Mark at the second half of last year before Mark obviously had his accident. I think we'll see a lot more of that. And then obviously Pecco being up there as well. I think Raul Fernandez is going to be up there in a lot of Grand Prix. I've said that a few times now. You know, even an Aiguru, like he might be fighting up there. I really think this Aprilia is going to be right up there this year.
James, MotoGP round one in Thailand is just around the corner. How excited are you?
Bro, so excited.
We have the package for you. OnTrackExperiences.com are offering a three-day paddock pass, rider meet and greet, a garage tour, lunch in the back of the pits for all 3 days, plus a service road access pass.
Tom, that is amazing. Not only that, we may be in Thailand for round one, and you might even be able to come on the podcast with us. Register your interest at ontrackexperiences.com now. I've got the tunnel vision on Honda. You've got the tunnel vision on Aprilia and Trackhouse.
Well, yeah, I do.
That's going to be the interesting one at the end of the year. Who's going to finish ahead of each other?
Yes, and I'm pretty comfortably. What are you talking about?
No, James? Not the Trackhouse.
Oh, okay. Jeez. Trackhouse ahead of Honda Factory Honda in the championship. Yeah, okay.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Someone said today, if Alex Marquez wins the championship, I've got to shave my head.
Oh, yeah.
I might fucking take that offer. But I get something back if he doesn't.
Fuck, if you have a bald head, mate.
Oh, Jesus. It'll be scary. That'd be scary. Yeah, jeez. I don't think anyone wants to see that. It's my only good feature, I think.
Yeah. Nah,
and the big calves, boys.
Yeah, you got big calves. Big baby cows. We're a bit under the weather today because we had a big night at the pub last night.
Yeah. Dude, I think someone was spiking our drinks.
Bro.
We were hammered and we were so hungover this morning. Superbikes was awesome, but, you know, trickling with rain, sitting there going, oh, I don't think this is worth it.
Fuck.
We are so excited for Boreham. We're going to be leaving in a couple of days. So, content, we're actually going to have a mini pod out every single day we're over there.
Mm.
So, I'm going to break that news to everyone. So, we're having a recap show after each day. So, stay tuned for that. And, guys, again, any input or questions or anything like that, chuck them in the comments or send us a DM on Insta. We're all over it, so yeah.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it.
Mm.
Tom, 2018. Buriram MotoGP, who won, mate?
So that was the first one?
Yeah.
2018?
Yeah.
Dovizioso.
Mark Marquez.
Yep, on the Honda.
2019, Mark Marquez.
Yep.
2020, 2021, not held because of the stupid virus. 2022, bro, try and guess who wins this. And then, yeah, just guess. Have a guess who wins 2022.
Jorge Martin.
You saw him today. It was Miguel Oliveira.
Jeez, he did too. He did too.
Bro, when I say he won
two races that year.
I can't remember that at all.
Yeah.
I cannot remember that at all. 2023, Jorge Martin won. 24, Bagnaia. 25, obviously, Mark.
Yeah, wow.
That's the form guide going into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Oliveira. I remember that race. He also won Portimao that year as well. His home race.
Yeah, he's won like five races all up, hasn't he?
Jesus, really?
I think he won Mandalika in the rain. He's won Austria.
Wild.
Yeah, four or five.
And he's out the back of the World Superbike.
Bro, doing fucking nothing on that Beamer.
That's what happens when you marry your stepsister, mate.
It's either really good or really bad. I know. Let's jump into some hot takes, mate.
Sounds good.
Where are we? Where are my hot takes? Thank you for everyone sending them in. We love them every single week. They're the most fun thing to read, that's for sure. We're a bit hungover and off it today, that's for sure. Fucking hell. At Jack_07, top right might come last every week. This new Yamaha is just a bucket of bolts.
Yeah, I think he'll still have Rins behind him.
True.
Rins actually wasn't that far off the pace for Quartararo, to be honest. We might be being a bit too harsh on him, but again, talk about tunnel vision testing times. That's T-shafts.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we won't know until after the first race. At 46, Patsia, will Aiguru come through or fall off? But I know what he's doing for you.
Yeah, he's coming through. I reckon he will qualify like outside the top 10 and then come through the field and finish like 7th.
I like it. I like it. It's called Papa. Not a lot of people are talking about it, but Brazil is going to be great track and a new audience.
Yeah, awesome. That's good.
It's true.
Yeah. That's something to look forward to, definitely.
No, I haven't really thought about I haven't really thought about Brazil at all.
Now, well, obviously the news with Australia and Adelaide Grand Prix and starting and all that has sort of taken over that. But yeah, that's I think because Balaton Park was such a disappointment, I think new tracks on the calendar, everyone's scared about them at the moment.
So, yeah, that's a good point.
We know you know, Connor, he's going to 17 Grand Prix this year.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, I could go to Balaton Park, but I couldn't give a fuck. It's got no soul, no atmosphere, and the track's shit. Mm. So I'm not going. Simple as that.
It's a really good point. Like, and there's new tracks that I remember came on the calendar, like Argentina, for example. I hated it. And now I don't even think it's on the calendar anymore. But like, I loved that circuit. And it needs like 10 years in the system for it to get a soul, to have memories. You know, you think of each corner and then you think of, oh, Rossi passed Marquez through there or whatever it is, yeah. You know. Balaton Park definitely doesn't have that, but it didn't even really have an atmosphere around the track. That was what was so shit about
it. Yeah, I don't know. And just, I just hate tracks that don't, like, have multiple lines through them and stuff. I just hate that. Like, I hate that, not multiple lines, but...
Like layouts.
Layouts. Yeah. So it's just all asphalt. It's just, it looks like you're in a fucking car park at Chadstone Shopping Centre and they've just drawn a track around it. No elevation.
Yeah.
You know, they could make that... All tracks need, James, is one good corner.
Mm.
Okay? Like, when you're playing golf, you're going to have a good hole. All you need is one good shot. Okay? One good putt, one good drive. That's all you need to have a good hole. It just needs one fucking good corner. And they could have that. Mm. That last corner could be amazing. But they put a chicane in it to slow the bikes down because they haven't got enough runoff.
At Coda, what's the good corner?
It's a great point. I really like the third last corner and the second last corner together.
Yeah, that's a good
long
section.
Long sweeping right hander and then a quick left hander.
And Mark almost
sent himself to fucking Pluto.
And also Coda turn one, the big uphill left.
Yep.
That's iconic.
Yeah, it's iconic. And the Texas flag in the background, yep. The S's at the first, you know, sector. That's a great track.
Great one. And I that was one of the actually one on the calendar. I was like, oh, I don't mind that when it first came in.
Yep.
But something like Balaton Park.
Jesus. And like Qatar, for instance, a track that's really grown on me, that middle section where it's just right, right, left, like it does have some good sweeping.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think ever since F1s went there, I've appreciated it more as well.
Yeah, there's a good section on the all rights as well. And like Qatar's been on the calendar for 20 years, bro.
Wild.
Crazy. Yeah. Started off in the day. I remember watching the day race.
It's wild. Jeez. The country existed 20 years ago.
Yeah, I know, right. That's... Carlos Gamero 24, roll on 2027, and the Bags and Bez show. Aprilia coming in hot, T-Shavs.
Yeah, well, that's the word on the street, and yeah, amazing for that manufacturer.
Here's a hot take. 50_87. Mark will have a DNF. That means a crazy start of the championship. Marrera will finish ahead of Toprak.
Okay, hot takes. That's why they're here.
Fucking Mark for having a DNF. Big one. Well, he's crushed twice. You just never know.
Yeah.
I think he's... Yeah, you know what? Mark Marquez is prone to having some crashes, especially earlier on in the season, you know, where he's still finding the feeling of the bike, like last year.
Yep.
Crashed a couple times and he really had to set himself straight. You know, and you just got to take a second and a third sometimes.
It was, it's the last corner he crashed at, I believe.
In
any testing.
Thailand, yeah. And the end of the back straight.
End of the back straight. And I remember watching those bikes, you know, break into that last corner, they fucking come roaring in there, and it's such a tight, awkward corner. So it's a tricky track, it really is.
Yeah, actually being at that circuit, you don't actually appreciate on TV how late they're breaking into that last corner. It is insane.
Yeah, amazing.
How hard it is on their body. At Kyle_man, who's going to have a more dominant 2026, Marquez or Bulliger?
Bulliger.
Bulliger, I think will.
That's a great question though.
I think Bulliger for sure. There's too much competition in MotoGP right now, and World Superbikes there's not. There really isn't. Bay Bikes. T-Shav has to shave his head if Alex Marquez wins the World Championship. I like that. Again, he says Motorsport Republica, number one podcast, MotoGP podcast 2026. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very nice.
Number one ticket holder, Willie Nelson. If Pecco is off to Aprilia, he doesn't have to develop a bike. Could be fast and bargy.
Interesting.
Yeah, he'll be an interesting one on Aprilia. I think he's going to be real fast, obviously. You know, is he going to be a championship contender? Like, of course he's going to be a contender, but is he going to be to the level of like a Marc Marquez or a Pedro Acosta on a Ducati? You know, and you got to beat your teammate, Marco Bezzecchi, who's the golden child.
We just don't know how big a change this 27 regs will be. That's the other thing.
Mm.
You know, if they could get away with making this engine slightly smaller, taking the aero off it, taking all the ride height devices off it, and they're going to be much the same as in the difference between the bikes, of course, you know, he's going to be a championship contender. But if it's a whole new motorcycle, then it's going to take... We just don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
It's funny...
Well, I know, it's a whole new bike.
It's funny, the F1 regulations, they've gone to a whole new car, whole new engine, everything, and this top four teams are still the top four teams.
Yeah.
You know, it hasn't changed. No one's fucking made this crazy technology to get it up there. It's still the top four. So, that might be the same thing with MotoGP.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or if it brings it back to more of the riders...
Yeah, well, at least that'd be good.
That's what you want.
Yep.
At Matt Stevens, Marquez / Bezzecchi battle, Vinales podium, Quartararo front rows qualifying, then crashes out.
Yeah, for qualifying in, he's not getting to Q2.
Well, last year he was good at it.
Yeah, but dude, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. It's a different year this year. fucking Jack Miller finished 7th in the sprint last year.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point.
I'm telling you, this V4, they've gone backwards. They've taken two steps backwards.
It looks it.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. And look, the engine's not going to fix everything, but man, they got a long road ahead. I just wonder if they're just thinking, you know, they're just thinking this whole time, they've just got their one eye on 2027.
They should have both eyes on 27. Mm. Forget about this year. That's why I'm not even worrying about Yamaha. I'm really not. I'm not going to get on their case. I'm not going to fucking bag the shit out of them or anything like that, because they shouldn't be concentrating on this year at all.
Yeah.
And Quartararo shouldn't be putting the finger to the bike either.
True.
Like, dude, you picked that team. You're going to leave at the end of the year. They don't give a fuck about you right now.
Nah, they don't.
So, I don't understand why he would be doing that. It just doesn't make sense.
Nah, it makes sense.
I mean,
no,
I get his frustration and all that kind of stuff. But for me, like, in testing, for fuck's sake, if it bucks you off in a qualifying session, yeah, that's fine. But not in fucking testing.
Mm.
I mean, demoralizing for the team.
Well, it is. It's just the problem with Fabio Quartararo. He's just been through it now for 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, the man has just had enough. And like, even when he got asked about, oh, Fabio, you're signing for Honda, he like had a cheeky smile. Like, you know, that's he. We all know what he's doing.
All the rumors that have come out in the last pre-come.
Fuck, you're right there, man. A
couple of weeks. They're all going to sound like they're coming true.
Mm.
You know, obviously Ducati with
Pedro,
and then obviously, you know, Aprilia with Bagnaia. So yeah, it's gonna be interesting.
If anything, it has quietened down a bit, the Honda Quartararo rumor, but look, that just could be because we're testing. Yeah. I don't know. Mm. You know, not many people have spoken about it lately, and same with the Jorge Martin Yamaha one, but they've got to go somewhere. And yeah. I think we're just waiting for a domino to fall, like Pecco Bagnaia. If he's like, all right, done, signed for Aprilia, then you would see Quartararo signed for Honda. Pedro Acosta signed for Ducati pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a domino effect.
Yeah, we've been waiting for someone to make the first move, and I think that's Pecco Bagnaia.
Yeah. All right.
That's it, mate.
We'll see you next on Friday afternoon in front of the Chang International Circuit.
Yeah. Well, keep an update on all our socials. We'll be posting heaps of stuff there, heaps of content. We've got a heaps of good content coming from the track as well. We've got Thursday media day. We've got quite a few people lined up, which will be really fun. Hopefully, we get everything that we want and we can get it all out. We've got to battle Dorna a little bit with all that stuff. But we've got some good names. And if we get these people, it's going to be huge.
Be massive. Thanks, guys. Thanks for everything.
Thanks.
I'll see you soon.
See you. Bye.